Normally, when a high-profile politician sits down with a news program, it's billed as an interview. If the politician in question is a big enough name, it's called an exclusive. But last night, when Tom Tillis took his seat on the set of Capital Tonight's on Time Warner News, it was billed as a debate, until it wasn't. WFAE's Tom Bullock reports on what happened in front of the cameras and behind the scenes.
Despite the Tillis camp all but double-dog daring Senator Kay Hagan to show up last night, when the opening music started, Hagan's absence was never in doubt. The planners of this, we'll call it a debate for the moment, knew that was the case for months.
At some point, I believe late summer, they informed us that they had chosen where they would debate and that this event was not going to be one of them.
That's Rick Timms, the executive editor of the Charlotte Observer. The Observer, the News and Observer, and Time Warner News originally co-sponsored the debate. All three news organizations would have their top political reporters asking the questions. Tim said the plan was to go on with the show, even if only one political act was on display.
We didn't feel that if one were to pass over it, that it should preclude us from letting another candidate speak to voters.
At least that was the plan around 3 p.m. yesterday when he spoke to us. Then, just before broadcast, came the chair, an empty one, placed to the left of Tillis. A clear representation that someone was missing, and possibly implying that Hagan's absence was a last-minute thing, a surprise. Calling it a political gimmick, the two newspapers pulled out of the event just before airtime. Their reporters went with them, which is when this debate was no longer called a debate. Albeit with just a sole participant, it was always going to be the political version of the sound of one hand clapping. This now became a de facto one-hour exclusive for Time Warner. They called it a conversation. And throughout their conversation, Time Warner's Loretta Beniti and Tim Boyum did press Tillis. Take this question from Beniti.
You talk a lot about getting rid of regulations and lowering the amount of regulations. To what point? I mean, don't we need a certain amount of regulations to be out there for, you know, for, if nothing else, civic responsibility?
Well, of course. I mean, you don't want to wake up every morning and figure out how fast you want to go on the highway. That's an example of a regulation. The problem is, are the regulations that just go so far that there's no real benefit to them. That's why.
Or this follow-up question by Boyum on whether or not Tillis supports American ground troops fighting ISIS extremists in Iraq and Syria.
If a 12-year-old child can cross the border to our south, then you can be pretty certain that an ISIS terrorist can. And this president is failing to secure our safety and security, not only in the Middle East, but here in the homeland.
I mean, to bring the point then, so if necessary, you support troops on the ground, if necessary.
I think that there's a lot of things that we can do, short of putting boots on the ground, troops on the front lines, to provide a presence there to make sure our Middle East partners and others can begin to push back on ISIS. Those are the sorts of things.
All the while, that chair on Tillis's left sat empty. If only there was someone to fill it. Someone like libertarian Sean Haugh. He took part in the last real debate, after all, and Haugh was actually at the station during last night's broadcast. He even gave a 5-minute rebuttal on camera after Tillis wrapped up. But Haugh has failed to reach the 15% polling threshold set up by the organizers, so he was not allowed to sit in for the main event. As for Senator Hagan, she may not have been at the event, but her camp was definitely watching. Just 3 minutes after the debate-turned-conversation ended, they blasted out a 472-word email titled, "Speaker Tillis Can't Even Win a Debate with Himself." For WFAE News, I'm Tom Bullock.